The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by Bar Canada here at the D, which is where Kelly and I do the show each and every Monday through Friday morning. Kelly Bidlin, that is. It's Gil Alexander. You good? Are you eating?
I'm good. How about donut? Sorry, man.
Matt Brown comes in here and he buys donuts downstairs for the crew. What a guy.
I split one with Rob Moreno back there. Yeah.
You split that? That didn't look like a split.
Yeah. You broke it in half. No crumbs. No crumbs at all back in the D.
Remember when we used to do our South Point lunches and stuff? We got to bring those back.
Yeah, we do.
They just want donuts, though. They don't want to hang out lunch. That'd be awkward. Okay.
I don't know. I had to open up the donut box.
By the way, we have to give our football picks before the end of the show. Like, we did all Matt Brown's, but we have tons of picks.
Yeah, we got a bunch. 845.
Yeah. 845 coming up. Let's talk some college football. Beginning with the Bear, Chris Felica from Fox Sports. You can catch him on the Bear Bets Pod, both college and pro football versions. College version comes out Thursdays. Pro football version comes out Fridays. Will Hill among the regulars on his show, our buddy. How you doing, Chris?
I'm good. And I was wondering, when do you ever do something nice for the crew?
We were just talking about how at the South Point, I did it all the time. And now Isaiah just gets us McDonald's.
You have your annual Christmas holiday gifts, too, that are always much appreciated.
I do that as well. But, you know, he comes in with donuts. Maybe I should do that more often.
Stop at Dunkin' Donuts, grab a dozen donuts, and move on with it.
Jeez.
Isn't that hard?
God
be
bless.
A nice guy.
This is amazing.
More like just a gallon of coffee for the crew we got back here. We'd take that.
I didn't know this was a roast. Jeez.
It is. Always a roast with you.
It's always a roast. Okay, let me hearken back to a week ago, and I asked you about the Michigan sign stealing thing, and I asked you, "Hey, thing or not a thing?" And you're like, "Yeah, it's nothing." I believe that was an exact quote. Would you like to change that opinion, or are you still it's nothing?
It's something. I ultimately don't know. I honestly don't know what's going to come of this. I mean, it's clear there's something going on. Like, and I said, it's nothing. But I think I did put a caveat on there. As long as they're not like recording, they're writing down signs, stealing signs as part of the game. But what they're doing is an issue. If they are, it's clear that there is a strategic plan here using an ex-Marine who's trained in interpreting things. Like, it's an issue. Ultimately, again, what is going to happen? I have no idea. My guess is nothing happens until after the college football season is over. The attorney will slow play this, and whatever penalties or whatever happens will happen long after Jim Harbaugh has gone off to the NFL in January 2024. I brought this up on the podcast yesterday with Will, Jeff, and Sammy P. And I'd like to get your opinion on this. They had an opposite view, I think, that I did. I wonder how this is going to affect Heisman voters who may have to vote for J.J. McCarthy. Ooh. Or Jay Daniels or Michael Penix. Like, will there be a little bit of like a betting implication backlash on this where Heisman voters are going to be like, yeah, J.J. McCarthy has been good, but he's known every defense that the opponents are going to put out there, and he's had a clear advantage. Heisman voters have been known to hold grudges for crazier things than that and not vote for people. So I just wonder if this kind of opens the door a little bit where maybe McCarthy should win it and maybe he won't.
First of all, I'm not a McCarthy should win it kind of guy to begin with, but I'll thread the needle on the answer, which is yes. Will some people have that impact their vote? Yes. The only problem with that is, unlike NFL MVP, where there's 50 guys voting on it, there's like 1,000 Heisman voters, right? So I don't know what that number is, what that percentage is. Even if it's 50 people, let's just say it's 50 people. Let's say the entire number of people that would vote on an NFL MVP is impacted in the Heisman. It's sort of like a drop in the bucket, whatever expression you want to use. So I don't know that it ultimately will determine it, but I guess someone would counter by saying, well, all it takes is a few, you know, in some cases. So my real thing on this is, did you see the report about how in the national semifinal, they were saying that TCU was hip to Michigan stealing signs, and therefore they put out dummy signs and then changed up on them? Do you believe that? That's pretty amazing.
I do. And that's fantastic. And that's what teams are going to do. By the way, this is easily solvable. You put the radios in the helmet, you get rid of all the signs, and you just
yes.
with your quarterback, kind of like they do in the NFL and other levels of sports. It's just bizarre that the college coaching community and the athletic directors and can't like be like, okay, this is easily solvable. We just do this. And why people will be against it, I have no idea.
Yeah, and it's also funny, just the last thing on this, because I don't want to belabor it anymore, but it's also funny in a sport where Chip Kelly and his crew famously would put up signs with four massive icons, like, oh, there's a Burger King thing, and there's a, you know, it's like, what are we really talking about here? Okay, this week, I will let you, I will ask about one game, but then I will let you have the floor on this. Let's go to, specifically to the Pac-12. And I'm thinking this is the marquee matchup of the week and not the sexiest weekend of college football, but Oregon and Utah, two one-loss Pac-12 teams where the Ducks are 6.5-point favorites on the road.
It feels like everybody has had the same reaction to this line. Like, isn't this a little crazy of a line? Like, the fact that this has moved this much. And my guess is there may have been a small group of people out there or a faction of people that may have thought, okay, holding out hope, maybe Cam Rising is coming back. Maybe Keithy is coming back. And now that they're really officially out and not coming back, the line has moved and kind of accounted for it and adjusted for that. But everybody seems to be like, it's Utah or pass for this game. And that would worry me a little bit just because we've seen this Utah offense against the best defense that it faced this year. Granted, it was on the road in Corvallis, do absolutely nothing. And this Oregon defense is stout against the run. I believe they're top 10 nationally in both rushing and both offense and defense. It's a tough one for me because I am super high on Oregon. So this game really scares me. I actually got an Oregon 35-1 to win the national title ticket last week. So I hope the Ducks can escape Salt Lake, but this is a very difficult place to play. Utah's won 18 straight and 29-30 at home. First time in almost 6 years that they've been a home dog. So it's a very tough spot. Nor are we going to get road Bo Nix? Are we going to get good Bo? Who the heck knows? I think Oregon wins, but I'd have a hard time laying 6.5 here.
Yeah, that is the marquee matchup of the weekend, college football. Oregon, again, favored by 6.5 at Utah. And no Dan Lanning. By the way, this was the thing I was going to say about when Chris brought up Cam Rising. Deshaun Watson, I wonder if it will get to the Cam Rising point where it's just like week after week. Like, is he playing? Is he not playing? What's going on here? All right, the floor is yours. What are your favorite plays of the weekend?
I seem to be opposite a lot of people on this, and I kind of like that position. Like, I took Texas State plus the 6.5 against Troy. I mean, if you look at Troy, like they've had a total of 13 points in the last three games, and I've been on Troy a lot this year, and they've been very good to me. But this is going to be a tougher test this week at Texas State, where the Bobcats can get bowl eligible with the sixth win. They have a road win at Baylor already. Their other and they've lost twice, one-score games against UTSA and UL Lafayette. The high-powered offense, DJ Finley, the former LSU an Auburn quarterback, averaged over 38 points a game. G.J. Kinney, who some people may remember, was a Tulsa quarterback with no big numbers. I like Texas State getting the 6.5 here. And I know it's a difference from a lot of people out there who have been on Troy this week, people I respect. So a little bit of concern, maybe, but the fact that I'm taking a good home dog and I think in a good spot, best offense that Troy's faced for a while. So I like Texas State plus the 6.5. I like Cincinnati as well, getting 7.5 against Oklahoma State. It looked like Oklahoma State's season was like going downhill quick in a hurry. You lose consecutive games to Iowa State and South Alabama. The South Alabama game was like 33-7 at home. Didn't know what to do with the quarterback position, really struggling to score points. And now they've won three straight games as an underdog. But now the problem is you're laying north of a touchdown in a bunch of places. And you have that Bedlam game next week, final Bedlam game. Stillwater's already looking. It is an ultimate kind of look ahead dead spot for the Cowboys. They just need to survive and get to that Bedlam game when undefeated Oklahoma comes next week. So I did take Cincinnati plus 7.5. I took another ugly dog, Georgia Tech, getting 12.5. I believe it was 12.5 there at Circa against North Carolina. I think everybody's just assuming North Carolina will bounce back off of that embarrassing, one of the most shocking results of the season last week, losing as a 23-point home favorite. to Virginia. But Georgia Tech has been a very scrappy underdog. You look at the last 11 times they've been a dog, covered 9 times, won 6 times outright, and that includes 3 wins. You had the win a couple of weeks ago and probable win against Miami as a 19-point dog. You beat Pitt in North Carolina last year outright as 21-point dogs. I'm just not so sure. A lot of times I think when teams suffer that first loss and it kind of takes some of their goals away, it might take a little while to kind of regroup a little bit. So I took Georgia Tech plus the 12.5, and I also took the NC State team total under 16.5. A couple weeks ago against Marshall, I liked the herd, and MJ Morris, who had gone in for Brennan Armstrong, the offense looked great. So there was hope. There was optimism. And then they went to Duke, and they scored 3 points. Like, that was bad. You scored 10 points in an ACC game against Louisville. You beat Virginia 24-21. Granted, that was with Armstrong. And Clemson, who the heck knows what their mentality is, what their psyche is. But one thing that Dabo Swinney usually does very well is motivate his team and get his teams to buy in on causes and goals and belief. And they got this string of 12 straight 10-win seasons going. They're going to have to win out in order to get to 13 straight, including a bowl game. The defense is still very, very good. It was impossible to think what happened last week in Miami with their backup quarterback just basically running the ball down the field. So I took NC State's team total under 16.5.
All right. Yes, no question. Georgia's 14.5 on the road without Brock Bowers against the Gators. Gators can cover. Can they win outright? Yes, no.
I don't think they can. I would lay it with Georgia here. I think the one time we've seen Georgia play its best game of the year was when they played feel threatened against Kentucky, and I think they feel maybe threatened tomorrow.
Chris Felica, Bear Bets Pod. Thank you, Chris. Dr. Bob on the other side. Next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
College basketball is about to tip off. Now's the time to get your copy of our annual betting guide. This year's guide includes Matt Heumann's top 25 rankings. Who could be this season's Florida Atlantic? I don't know. Why don't we ask Will Hill? All 32 conferences previewed, Wooden Awards candidates, futures and season-long prop bets. The only way to get the guide is to become a VSiN Pro subscriber, though. So sign up now for just $120 and get VSiN Pro access to everything we do until May 1st. That's all college basketball season-long, March Madness and beyond, for only $120. Sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe. Skill Alexander, it's Kelly Bidlin. This gentleman, I'm sure, has already prepped for the college basketball season. He's Dr. Bob. Dr. Bob Sports. You can find him on that on the Twitter machine, and of course at drbobsports.com as well. Dr. Bob joins us now. How you doing, Bob?
Oh, I'm doing all right. How are you?
I'm good. How does it, first of all, let's not act like we didn't have you on the Megapod yesterday. Thank you so much for your appearance. You were awesome as always. Appreciate the time.
Great.
College basketball. I don't want to ask you about anything specific, but like, what's your prep like? You're in the midst of a football season, pro and college. Where do you find the time, man?
Well, I have a team now. About 3 years ago. I mean, I've had Tanner working with me for 6 or 7 years. We've been working on the NFL together. And we applied the techniques of the model that we came up with in the NFL to college basketball 3 years ago, and that has produced really good results. So he handles the priors with another guy that's a student at MIT right now. So those two bang out the priors. And during the season, I do most of the adjustments, the rotation adjustments and stuff like that, which I'm really good at. So we work on it together during the season, but before the season, that's in their court. I don't mess with the priors. They've got that dialed in. So I'm just free to do football.
Yeah. I mean, I just remember when you used to do it by yourself too. Like, it's just incredible.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah. And then I remember Friday nights before a full slate of Saturday college basketball, how that you would just disappear. Like, we would be at an MIT Sloan Sports Conference and we're like, Bob, you want to hang out? He's like, no, I'm sorry. I got to be in my hotel room. I got to handicap 100 basketball games.
I remember there was a conference tournament. I was doing my panel on a Friday morning at 9 a.m. as the sports betting analytics panel. And I think we had dinner the night before, and then I was like, I got to go. And then I'm doing all these conference turns. I'm up till 4:30 in the morning. I get like a 2-hour nap, and then I get up and I finish my stuff and release. So I've got 2 hours of sleep. I do the panel, and I'm tired, but it worked out. And I want to see some other things, but I got to go right back and, you know, and work on college basketball again. I didn't see anybody the rest of the weekend.
I remember well. And you still found time to have an epic argument with Jackie McMullen about what was the straw that stirred the Celtics drink. Famous.
Yeah,
she goes,
"Oh, Rajon Rondo's so important." I'm like, no. When he's in the game during his entire career, they've been about 3 points worse for 48 minutes. No, that can't be. He's amazing. No, he's a ball hog and he clogs down the offense. No, I'm like, oh God, these old school reporters who just, you could give them all the analytics you want, all basic. And they're like, no, I don't believe that. I had the same argument in KNBR in San Francisco. I used to do a show every week when Steph Curry was a rookie. And Monta Ellis was on the team. And I'm like, I don't know about this Steph Curry or Razor, the Ralph Barbieri.
May he rest in peace, Bob.
No. Yeah. He's the key. You got to get rid of Ellis. No, you can't get rid of Ellis. He's our best player. Like, no, Steph Curry's your best player. He needs to be the point guard. You need to get rid of Ellis. Sure enough, they shipped Ellis off to Milwaukee. And then the next year, the Warriors got good.
Bob making friends coast to coast.
Don't believe it.
Great.
Don't believe it.
Making friends.
I don't believe in all these analytics. I'm like, oh God, you and Charles Barkley. Right?
I was definitely in the camp too of like, Monte Ellis is so good. Well, how could you trade this guy?
We've brought this up many times. The Monte Ellis trade outrage in the Bay Area was something to behold. It was just incredible. And Bob's like, nope, it's the good thing. By the way, the counter to the Rajon Rondo was Bob was like, no, Jared Sellinger means more. Everybody go crazy. All right. We can talk about that for hours. What do you want to say, Bob? Last thing? What was that?
Oh, no. There's another argument recently about, Steph Curry and Durant. And I did this big thing, and I'm like, all right, when Steph Curry's in the game and Durant is not, or when Steph Curry plays and Durant does it, the Warriors still are an elite team. But when Durant plays without Curry, they're like 11-10. You know what I mean? People are like, no, Durant's the reason they win. I'm like, no, maybe in the finals because he played so great. But Steph Curry is still the key to that team. People just could not wrap their head around the fact that Steph Curry was more important than Kevin Durant. And the analytics showed it. And it wasn't even close. You know, and it's another argument I kept getting in with people. But
Bob's great at parties. If you ever need like arguments to start at parties, just roll Bob in. He's like, hey, here's my friend Bob. Have a conversation with him. All right. What do you like in what's your favorite college football player? What do you want to share with us anyway?
Yeah. One college and one NFL since we've taken all this time talking about nonsense. I like the University of Tennessee. They're -3.5 against Kentucky, and Kentucky is just not a good team. They do a couple things well. They run the ball extremely well, averaging 7 yards per running play. A lot of that is boom or bust. A lot of it's like 50-yard run, and then it's three and out because their quarterback play is terrible. They're a yard per quarterback's averaging 6.0 yards per pass play, which is below average to begin with. But they're facing teams that would allow 7 yards per pass play to an average team. So the passing game is terrible. They run the ball well. But when they face teams that stop the run, like the last 2 weeks, Georgia and Missouri, their offense just shuts down. Just a ton of three and outs. They're only running 55 plays a game because it's just so many three and outs. And Tennessee defends the run better than average. And if Kentucky's forced to throw, forget it. I mean, Tennessee's pass defense, they've given up just 4.7 yards per pass play to a collection of quarterbacks that would normally average 6.8 against an average team. So they're more than 2 yards per pass play better than an average defense. That's elite. And the run defense is better than average. So I think Kentucky's going to have trouble moving the ball consistently. And the Volunteers are pretty good. They outgained Alabama last week. That game wasn't as uncompetitive as the final score seemed. Tennessee has got a really good defense, and their offense is certainly better than average. And we might, Kentucky's defense, good against the run, not good against the pass, just a little bit better than average overall. So this is one of these games where Kentucky is going to be lucky to get to 20. Tennessee should score, close to 30, I think. So I think laying 3.5 is certainly a good play.
All right. Vols laying 3.5 against Kentucky. That is your college football play of the week from Dr. Bob. What about the pros?
I like New Orleans. I think New Orleans has been a bit underrated. I had the team total over last week, and finally they start, instead of just knocking on the door, they finally cashed in on a couple of touchdowns and went over on the team total. This week I like them in general because the Colts are just a mess right now. And the secondary They've had problems all year there, but it's even worse now. The starting projected corner Isaiah Rogers was cut by the team after his gambling suspension. They brought in Daryl Baker. He gave up 11 yards a target the first two games of the season, so they benched him. Then they brought in Dallas Flowers. That was all right, but he has a season-ending Achilles injury, so they have to put Baker back in. And the other corner is a seventh-round rookie, you know, Jalen Jones. So their secondary is a complete mess, especially with Brent out with a quad injury. So they got so many problems in the secondary. Baker's probably going to be the guy that's on Chris Olave, and Olave leads the league with 19 targets of at least 20 air yards. And I think they're going to connect on one or two deep throws against Baker, who can't cover anybody. And then on the other side of the ball, Kamara not running the ball particularly well, but he's still elite as a pass catcher, third in the league among running backs in yards per route run. Colts are 28th in the league in success rate against running backs in the passing game. So I think Kamara is going to have a nice game out of the backfield. Plus you've got the deep ball to Olave. So I think the offense is going to work. New Orleans defense is good enough. The Colts have been pretty good on offense, but I think that New Orleans wins this game pretty comfortably. And they were +1 when I released. I think they're minus one right now, minus something like that. But up to -2.5, I think the Saints are a good bet here.
All right. Saints over the Colts, up to 2.5 right now, -1 on that. Bob was kind enough to come on the Megapod yesterday. We had multiple discussions, not only Bob's best bets, fleshed out even more than that Saints play in the NFL, but also the value of what Bob calls technical analysis, what we sort of colloquially refer to as trends, how that should not be dismissed entirely, how it's worked for him through the years. And specifically, also, I mentioned this earlier, Bob, the team that you have generally valued higher than the conventional wisdom that the markets have, and the team that you have in the NFL valued lower. The Patriots were the one that you have valued higher. What was the one that you cited? Which team lower than the conventional wisdom? Do you remember?
Yeah, it was, hold on a second. It was much less. I have the Patriots quite close to an average team, and they seem like they're 3 or 4 points worse than ever, even worse than that. I played on them, like I said, a couple weeks ago against the Raiders. They lost to the spread on a safety, and I came right back on them last week against the Bills, and they finally came through. So I have them around average, and people have them a lot lower.
Okay.
The team I have a lot lower is the Colts. I have the Colts as like the third worst team in the league.
He's got the Colts
right now with the injuries.
I got to run, Bob, but the Colts is the third worst team in the NFL.
I love that. I got a lot of money in those Jags tickets.
Bob, thank you so much. Appreciate it. Double duty this week.
All right.
My man.
All right.
Dr. Bob, everybody, at DR. Bob Sports on Twitter. We'll come back. Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke on the World Series next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Hey, don't forget, on DraftKings Sportsbook this week, new customers can bet $5 and pocket $200 in bonus bets instantly. Plus, all customers can get a no-sweat same-game parlay every day. Download the app and use the promo code VEGAS when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. Skill Alexander, it's Kelly Bidlin, live from Bar Canada at the D. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. JB on Uncle_Bush, he says, I'm beginning to think that a prominent Vegas book has a $400,000 future bet on Europe in the next Ryder Cup and is not so subtly placing subliminal messages from Billy Walters to balance the ledger. Can you ask Matt and Kelly if they know of any golf podcasts? It's referring to our often heard commercial.
Our commercial breaks I never listened to.
Oh, man, there's something else. Charlie D, USA number one. The three tenors of VSiN, you guys, you can't beat the chemistry you three bring to the table. We love having Matt on with us.
Yeah.
The old primetime action group.
Appreciate that, but yeah.
Appreciate that very much.
It's just three friends hanging out talking football. That's all.
We always go, we're like, oh, an hour's gone? Scotty B726, please ask Felica to do something about Fox Sports not having the pitch clock on their broadcasts. All right, I'll ask him off air. Apologize that I didn't know it here.
Get it together, Felica. Come on.
And also a question about Felica from Chance Copperpot. How are you so clearly cleanly shaven? I must know the secret. It can't be just a razor and cream because that is what I use. Help me. I love that we make such an impact where the people are asking about shaving and pitch clock.
Lifestyle advice from Chris. Yeah. It's funny because I read that tweet and then I looked at his shot and I thought the same thing. I was like, wow, he is extremely clean shaven.
Joe Nigro, love that Al Michaels calls 2 Chainz Deuce. Then in the next sentence says he may kill me. Al just doesn't care anymore. I missed that one on last night's broadcast.
Al is, he's been way looser on these Amazon Prime.
By the way, I can rewind this year on Amazon, whereas in previous years I couldn't rewind.
Yeah, I don't even understand what's going on with these things.
I don't know. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, I announced this breaking news earlier on the show that a special numbers game investigation reveals that the World Series begins tonight. And oh, by the way, it's the Diamondbacks and the Rangers. It's Gallen versus Eovaldi, the 4-0 postseason Nathan Eovaldi, who is trying to go 5-0. Which is hard to believe, right? A quarter of the way to a 20-win regular season he would go tonight if he's to get the win for the Rangers tonight. It's Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke at Spreadopedia. How you doing, Jason?
Pretty good. How's it going?
Doing very well. Do we have a World Series bet or a Game 1 bet, sir?
I got the first inning, yes, score. But otherwise, you just mentioned Eovaldi versus Gallen. D-backs Rangers. If this wasn't the World Series, if this was a Thursday night in August, what would you pay to go see? How much would you pay to see this game?
This is great.
Yeah.
If this was a regular season game, absolutely nothing, Jason. You'd have to pay me. I'm trying to think in my mind.
I'd probably pay $20.
As not being a big baseball guy, I'm trying to figure out how much I'd pay to go to this World Series.
Well, it's such a great point because we often, I don't know that I've said that this year, but I've said many, many times in previous years, for standalone NFL games. I'm like, if this was in the middle of the early slate of games,
Thursday night
would
games
you
always
bet it, yep, right? Would you bet this? This is the baseball equivalent that Jason is coming up with, and it is a fascinating question, and I think it's a valid one because for our purposes, would you bet it, right? I wouldn't. I just wouldn't, and I wouldn't bet it tonight either.
Well, you know what I learned this year? Zach Gallen, he sucks on the road, so yeah, obviously.
Yeah.
Just go against that.
Well, Zach Gallen with
the or he's mediocre on the road, great at
crazy
home.
Home road splits. So you just a first inning yes, that is what you landed on here, Jason.
Yeah, and I'm just waiting for the prices to kind of go up a little bit more before the game starts. But other than that, I mean, I don't want to say I'm not excited about the World Series, but I'm not particularly excited about the World Series.
Okay, that's fair. Did you bet any other sport thus far? Have you bet any college football?
I did. I bet the University of Texas -17.5 versus BYU because I'm actually in Austin. I'm going to that game tomorrow morning. So,
oh, very nice.
You know, you can't go to a sporting event without money on it. Like, what would the fun of that be?
Go ahead.
Sorry, go on.
No, is there a particular handicap to that, or just because you're attending?
Obviously because I'm attending, but BYU is just, even with backup quarterbacks for Texas, it shouldn't be that competitive of a game. Hopefully it's a blowout and we can just celebrate and not have to sweat it. But Arch Manning, I'm really hoping to see Arch Manning. I could say I was at his first college game, hopefully.
I'm going
to
put on my Evel Knievel helmet and ask you this follow-up question. What are you doing in Austin, Jason? What's going on there?
Bachelor party.
Bachelor party. Okay. All right. Bachelor party. That works.
Yeah.
Is Arch going to play? Is Arch getting the start for this game, Jason?
No, I think the Murphy is getting the start, but okay. You know, he might play. I mean, it's up in the air. That's the thing I'm looking forward to the most is seeing that. It's kind of not a particularly boring sports weekend, but like, did you see anything that particularly stood out to you? Because like when I bet NFL this week, it was mostly teasers.
Yeah, the big teaser week in the NFL for sure. A lot of teaser legs.
Yeah, all the -2.5 when I ran it through the unabated teaser program was showing like 10% edges, even at like on the 4-team +240 teaser, which used to be like 3-1. It was showing huge edges taking all the teams -2 or -2.5.
So do you just have some kind of like, you know, round, I don't want to say round robin, but did you have all kinds of a mix of all of those legs that apply as long legs?
Yeah. I mean, I usually do the longs by 3s and 4s. If I have enough accounts that'll let me get them at the good numbers. And you know, it's the same thing everyone talks about. The numbers keep kind of getting killed in the teaser market, but if you're lucky and you have enough good outs, you can still get down occasionally and still good money. But yeah, I mean, that was the thing that stood out for me the most this weekend was the teasers. And then there's this women's golf going on in Malaysia.
Of course.
And, you know, my favorite, Rose Zhang, she's played five, you know, she hasn't played amazing in the last couple of weeks, but her price drifted out to 40-1. So, she's like one shot off the lead right now going into the third round. So that's where my money is at. She's still, it's about 5-1 to win still.
You seem to text me almost every weekend with, I've got a golfer who's like either in the lead or top two with one round to go at like 100-1 or something. Isn't this like your go-to thing every week? Some far off golf tournament?
Yeah, but that's the thing with golf is having a guy in the lead at 100-1 with a round left, it means relatively little. You know, there's still a whole round left. The amount of times I've had a good bet entry in the fourth round lose, you know, I mean, it happens all the time, but it's fun. I always tell people, I think the reason I think golf betting should be more popularized and expanded is because it's the only thing where you could bet like $50 and win, you know, 5,000 or whatever each week. You know, there's big winners each week in golf, and it's not just to win. You can bet top five, top 10, top 20. You know, there's all sorts of bets, and people like long shots, and it's always a fun way to make a little bit of money or lose $10,000. You know, that happens every once in a while too.
But, or lose $10,000. By the way, pro tip of the hour, Kelly, mark it down. The thing about having a round left in golf is that there's a round left in golf.
Yeah.
Put that down.
Yeah. It means nothing.
Jason, I've decided I would really like more sports books to offer the any round leader market.
Yes,
I don't know how many times I enter Sunday with a leader, and that doesn't matter at all.
How many times?
Well, they do offer.
Go ahead, Jason.
They offer the first round leader.
Right.
Yes, but not second or third.
Yeah.
We've said this
sometimes on the majors.
Yeah, only on the majors. We've said this a million times, or I have anyway. No sport is more ripe for a betting revolution than the sport of golf. And it's the old World Sports Exchange model, right? Where there's no sport that inherently has a pool of, you know, 80 golfers or whatever the number is on whatever tournament. Let's say the Masters is 90, right? 90-ish. And so by virtue of that pool, that's unlike any other sport to begin with, right? Because other sports are either individual or, you know, more finite team sports. And then it's 4 days. And so you could have a in-game total on every one of these golfers, right? For four rounds. The betting could be nonstop. The books could be
nonstop. And it goes on. It goes on for 10, 12 hours a day.
Yes,
you know?
Exactly. And that's right. And it goes on longer than any other sporting event, North American wise anyway, every day of those 4 days. So I just think, I don't know. And then I say that my next thought is always 10 years from now, we'll look back on this and we'll laugh. And then I'm like, 10 years from now, we'll probably be in the same spot. Because I just don't think there's an incentive for innovation in some of, like here in Nevada, whenever we get legalized sports betting here, I just don't think there's an incentive for innovation. That's not to say that the DraftKings of the world aren't innovating and putting out new markets all the time. So maybe outside of Nevada, maybe we're just in this bubble here. But, you know, anyway. Okay, so Rose Zhang, would you recommend a play on her right now or no? Yes, you would. 40-1?
5-1 is a little short.
Oh,
I mean, there's still a couple other contenders. You know, you're taking 5-1 when it was 40-1 pre-tournament. Not the greatest bet. I added a little more just because I already have a position on it. But, you know, it's the World Series tonight. That's where the attention's going to be. So just bet the first inning there.
Okay, what's the number you're looking for on the first inning, ideally? Yes, run?
I'm hoping to get at least even money. Like I say, the longer you wait, the better the price is going to get, especially things like the World Series playoff. You get crazy, crazy prices closer to game time.
Thank you, Jason. Our NFL picks next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get a daily email recapping all the best bets from our show hosts and guests. You also get unlimited access to our VSiN.com/picks page. Sort picks by sport, matchup, event date, and more. Check the top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI, and see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. For VSiN Pro picks, betting splits, betting guides, plus 24/7 video access, become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Sign up now and get access to everything we do through May 1st for only $120 at VSiN.com/. /subscribe. You had a question for me, sir, that you wanted to ask me?
Well, Jason's brought this up a couple times during the baseball season. And yeah, we rushed him off so quick. No, we rushed him off. The commercial break came.
We're so rude.
Yeah, I know. We're so rude. We got to get paid around here. But when he's talking about waiting closer to game time for a better price on the yes run first inning.
Yes.
That surprises me. So what, there is more money coming in on the nose leading up to these games?
To quote Eddie Murphy when he did his interview on the Arsenio Hall show, yes. Arsenio was his buddy. He just wanted to mess with him. That
surprises me.
Here's the thing. This won't surprise you about the public. They like what they like. And when it comes to yes, no's in the first inning, the inclination for the average better is to bet the no, to always bet the no. And it's specifically when it comes to pitchers, right? When it's aces during the regular season, Kershaw's facing whoever, right? They're like, oh, the no. Oh, it's the no. We got to bet the no. I mean, it's only three outs here and three outs there. And it's Kershaw and, I don't know, Lincecum. Let's just use a matchup from the past. That's the instinct of the average bettor. And so the value is always on the yes. This is Jason and I on this show have done this for years. We call it a cottage industry of, and we never wanted to give away the secret sauce, and we never have. But it's the one thing that I have offered is no, that you should all, your instinct should always be to go to the yes. Like if you don't know anything else, the yes is typically where the value will be. And so in a World Series game number one, where it's Eovaldi, who's just had this amazing run so far in the postseason, versus Zach Gallen, who was a National League Cy Young candidate. The closer and closer we get to game time, the more people are going to bet the no. And Jason's just hanging out, waiting to get the best price that he can on yes. It's always that way. Now, does that mean that there will be a run? No. Now, this is the other, you know, again, this is the betting 101 lesson for new bettors.
Right, so you're just talking price. Because you're not talking about outcome. Talking about a price.
And that drives people crazy. And again, these are not just new bettors, but I know bettors who have bet for 30 years. I'll use my buddy Tommy in DC, right? I can tell him this for 30 years. I can tell him and his bud and his other and our other buddies this for 30 years. In the end, they only care what the result is. And if it's wrong in the end, they'll be like, oh, real smart. That's not the point. The point is after if you ran the simulation 100 times or 1,000 times to be more accurate, the fact is that the plus EV is the yes. And
okay.
The more, you know, let's just use a standard baseball game because we haven't gone through this a lot. But, you know, if you're handicapping baseball, because it's a money line sport when we talk about baseball bets. Yes, there are spreads, but we talk money line. If you're betting a plus 150 dog, you know, and then, bet a plus 150 dog. And then somebody comes up to you and they go, oh, you think that team's going to win? You'd be like, well, not exactly. What do you mean? You just bet them. Right. But it's the price. It shouldn't be plus 150. It should only be plus, let's just say, plus 120.
Yeah.
And then if they lose, right, that average bettor will be like, oh, real good bet. Okay, you're not understanding how this works, right? So now,
money line sports are so tough with that.
Well, really but that's the sooner you can get into that frame of mind, the better off theoretically you will be long term. Now, can you go stretches where it doesn't manifest? Yes. And so your ability to overcome that negative variance is going to be like the biggest thing for you. Mm-hmm. But I'm just saying that's the toughest thing to get past with
understanding betters. It's the price, not just tracking the outcome.
But as far as the yes and no's, they all love the no.
The other interesting thing he brought up quick there, too, that I heard Steve Fezzik talking about earlier this week on his podcast was the 4-team 6-point teasers in the NFL. Of the number, just basically the odds that you're getting on that, with so many of these shops moving further and further away from 120, 125 on two teamers, that there's some correlative value when you do the four teamer up to like close to 3-1. I think Jason just said he was a little shy of that.
He gave a shout out to our buddies Captain Jack and Rufus at Unabated. They have a wonderful tool for that on their service. Yeah, for sure. And so, all of these things, none of these things are static, right? They're always changing. If things were static for eternity, this would be easy. This ain't easy. And, you know,
the teaser one makes sense, though, right? How popular have two-team teasers gotten in recent years?
Well,
right?
And also we talk about the Wong teasers, and now we were talking earlier about teams when they're down 14 and they get to 8. Instead of kicking an extra point, they're going for 2 more often than they do to knock it down to 6 if they can, or they stay at 8. That will incrementally change key numbers over time. Now, can you, in the moment, bet that accordingly, that's a different story. But yes, over time, macro level, those key numbers are incrementally shifting. Mm-hmm. So it's never the same. It's never the same. If it were, this would be easy. And this ain't easy. So we've gone through 2 hours. We haven't even given our NFL picks. My three that are already in the account, and these will sound familiar. At least two of these three will, from guessing lines and the Megapod. If you are listening to the Beating the Book podcast as well. But I grabbed the Lions when they were 7.5. I guess 10 on guessing lines Monday night, hosting the Raiders. When they were 7.5, I bought them to 7. So I have -7, -136 on the Lions. I think they're at 9 right now. It's drifted up towards my guess. It's
come back down a little bit just because Jimmy G's looking like he's probably going to go for the Raiders. So it's like 8. Basically everywhere.
Yeah, as much as I faded the Lions last week against the Ravens, I love them in this game against the Raiders. I think they roll.
So do I. That quarterback shift concern you at all? Not me either. I think the price is appropriate. If you're going to tell me you're going from 8.5 to 8 or 9 to 8, that's fine. He's probably worth a point. I'm not really that worried about it.
I was going to say, no offense to Jimmy G, but yeah. I suppose it is some offense, but I'm not that not that concerned.
I'm giving him a point.
Yeah. I'm on the Jets. I got a -3. You can get a -2.5. You can get a better number than I did. I got a -3, quote unquote, at the Giants. Not really a road game, but you get the idea. And we even mentioned this on Guessing Lines. Am I thrilled that I'm racing to back Zach Wilson? Of course not. But the Jets are an extra rest here. I do think their defense is the best unit on the football field. I got some pushback on this pick on Megapod yesterday. Todd Winopo me.
Really?
On this, yeah.
Have you heard the New York sports story of the week about this game?
No.
The outrage over Zach Wilson? Daring to take a trip to Utah during the bye week, I guess.
Oh, don't do that.
Oh, they are flipping out.
Oh, don't do that.
It's very comical. We're in a couple things.
It is amazing how we view such things through the prism of who is doing it. Right?
Oh, totally. Yeah. Right?
If you know, pick your great quarterback does that, no one blinks an eye. Well, but if you do it, Zach Wilson,
it's not even that, Gil. It's just I didn't hear anybody else. I'm sure there's other Jets that went places on their bye week, but it was just Zach Wilson. How dare you? He posted stuff on Instagram or something.
So I always found that stuff weird. Sean Taylor used to go to Miami like nightly, almost when he was playing for Washington. People like, what is he doing? Don't worry, it's Sean Taylor. He'll be fine. And then the other one I mentioned earlier on the show, I got the Bengals +3.5 at the Niners. I do not believe that adjustment was enough from Purdy to Sam Darnold. I know that some people don't agree with that. Some people aren't in the Brock Purdy camp like I am, but I'll take the Bengals +3.5. Yes, I will. With Joe Burrow on extra rest. Niners D's a little banged up. Bengals that much healthier. Yes, I'll take the Bengals +3.5. And then the teaser, which is the primetime teaser. I got the Chargers teased down and the Lions teased down.
Yeah, I think that you and Matt today have swayed me onto that Bengals side. The one thing I've at least been saying kind of the past week about this game was you're going to have the opportunity. If you're a believer in the Bengals long term, this is going to be the buy low spot if you really think this is a team that's going to go forward winning games. So even from that standpoint, it's fine with a bet. Now that, especially seeing you going up against the Niners with the team, you don't see that very often. I think that rings a bell in my head when I see you going up against the Niners. So, I think I'm going to end up on that side. Haven't made that bet yet, but I think you and Matt both on that side and already thinking that's kind of a good buy low spot for them. I think I'll be adding that as well. Only other thing not on my graphic here that I did bet is that Christian Kirk over receiving and rushing yards. Quick pro tip. This is one we've brought up before, but the over 53.5. I was shopping around this morning. Over 53.5 was -155. Go over to rushing plus receiving over 54.5 at -112. I played the over 54.5 at -112. I don't even care if he gets a rushing yard. I just don't want to pay 40 more cents for one receiving yard. Seahawks 2.5. Matt and I talked about that already. I'd be fine playing at a current number. I think that is this Browns team. You're rolling out quarterback PJ Walker. It's so bad offensively right now. I think that number is fine where it is. And I got a lot of Lions going on with you, bought down to the 7. And then they have them wrapped up in two teasers right now, Chargers and Lions and Chiefs and Lions.
Okay. It feels like a big teaser week.
Yeah.
Every which way.
It does. And all those big, the chalk, like I like the big favorites this week. Sorry. It's just one of those weeks.
You don't have to apologize.
Well,
may have to apologize on Monday.
Right. Yeah.
Which of these teaser legs is not going to get home? Who's killing us? Who's killing the people?
You know what? I'm going to say Chargers, but if it is the Chargers, Brandon Staley's out of a job.
Oh, yeah. That would be the one. Come on, Chargers. Show up. Thank you for a great week. Good luck with all your bets. Week 8 in the NFL, World Series, college football, whatever you're betting. Best Bets is next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.